Hello, everybody. This is your host. I am Dr. Clint Haycock, and you're listening to the Preacher's Forum podcast coming to you from The Rock in beautiful North Wales. The weather's finally gotten nice, and so we're having a great day. The rain has stopped finally. And this is all about critical thinking about God, the church, and spirituality. This is the aim of the Preacher's Forum podcast and the Preacher's Forum website, preachersforum.com. I am very excited to be bringing you today's show. This is the beginning of a brand new series that I will be doing. It's called Mind Shift. And in this episode, it is called Mind Shift, Becoming a Person of Positivity with myself and my wife, Lisa. Next week, we're going to be bringing you an episode with Mr. Gary Hayes. We're going to be going back and talking about the subject of a theoclasm and what it means to explore and challenge our views on God. And then following the show on theoclasm, I'm going to be doing two episodes on changing the leadership culture of a team. So be sure and stay tuned for that. The five dysfunctions and the five functions of a team. So there's a whole variety of subjects coming up in this Mind Shift series. Also, I'll talk a little bit more about this at the end of the show, but if you are interested in supporting the ongoing work of the Preacher's Forum podcast, you can find me on Patreon, and the address is patreon.com/preachersforum. So for as little as $1 a month, you can support the work of the Preacher's Forum, and you'll be granted access to the Preacher's Forum private Facebook group where you can talk about anything and everything in a safe and non-judgmental space. So I'll mention that again at the end of the show, as well as ways that you can get a hold of me through various social media platforms. Now I'm sitting here with my wife, Lisa. Do you want to say hello to everybody?
Hello.
If you've been listening to the Preacher's Forum podcast at all, you recall that Lisa and I have done a couple of podcast episodes before. We did one, it was a bonus track, wasn't it, on Rock and Roll Soul, bonus track where we talked about some of our experiences with church ministry. And Lisa also did a recording where she talked about her post-abortion experience, the healing and the recovery. So if you haven't heard those, you definitely need to go back and check out the Rock and Roll Soul bonus track, as well as the one on Lisa's story, her abortion and post-abortion recovery. It's an amazingly powerful story. But we decided, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, well, actually the last few months, hasn't it? Maybe even more than that, maybe the last year. What would you say? About being positive. Now that sounds like it could be just nothing more than a feel-good, the power of positive thinking. But we want to talk about how do you change that mentality from negativity to positivity. Is that a word? Positivity?
Yep.
Okay, it is. It is now anyway. We decided.
It is a word.
It is a word. We want to talk about changing the mentality because we have discovered over the last couple of years that it's so easy to fall into the trap of just being negative, and it can color so much of every aspect of your life, can't it? It can hold you back from trying new experiences. You can talk yourself out of literally anything, can't you? And everything. Well, you know, I can't do that because, well, I tried it in the past and it didn't work. Or I'm afraid I might fail. Or I'm afraid that someone might laugh at me. And you know what? That might all be true. You know, but that stops so many people from having new experiences, from learning new things, from achieving so many things. And a lot of people get stuck in a job that they hate, a life that they hate. Why can't they change that? You know, and it doesn't have anything to do with God and all these things that we talk about with the church. We don't know. We want to get into that. We don't want to talk about being positive and just being in a state of denial or over-spiritualizing everything. But I think I'm interested to hear your story, Lisa, about how you've, in the last few years, you've changed your perspective, or you're working to change your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I would say that it's a work in progress, isn't it? So When things happen, so you have circumstances that happen that are negative, and if you have too many of those, your default position becomes a very negative outlook. And so I think with certain stresses, you know, when the girls were little and you were a student and there was a lot of financial stresses, just normal everyday stresses of raising children, being extremely busy, it became one of those things where it was just so tired and exhausted and everything just looked bleak, or at least I'd wake up tired and exhausted and negative. And so then that becomes your default. So where you have anything that happens, it then just clouds anything that's positive. And sometimes it's hard to even just see the light at the end of the tunnel. You think that it's really a train coming your way. So when things are going good, there were times when I was like, oh boy, I mean, things are going well. It's just a matter of time before that train comes. And that was a lot of my thinking for many, many years. And it got me into a place of, even though I'm quite a strong person and I just get on with life, I just got on with my jobs, I got on with raising, you know, helping raise the kids with you, I still was very anxious. There was depression there, because your mind is a lot stronger than your body. So I didn't really practice anything when it comes to mindset. I never listened to anything that talked about how to change your mindset. I just got on kind of in a fog. And that was my years, you know, several years. And the last couple years, things have really started to change.
What made you decide to make that shift, to make that change?
I think for me was when we have two daughters, and when our oldest daughter moved out and our girls are 14 months apart, then our baby moved out. And it was kind of one of those things, as a mom, your focus is your children. And, you know, even though obviously I had a life outside and I worked full time, for me, I had to look at myself and I had time for myself. And so I remember saying I needed a hobby. That's what I thought that I needed, which is fine. But really, it was when a couple weeks before my 45th birthday, knowing I was out of shape, I was overweight, I was tired, I had lots of aches and pains and discomforts and issues. And I thought I was fairly healthy because I wasn't at the doctor's. I didn't go to the hospital. I wasn't laid up. I was still going to work and functioning. But I knew that when I was growing up, I was very athletic and I worked at a gym and I loved going to the gym. So I thought in my head, I need to change my physical being. So I needed to lose weight and I wanted to get back into shape, but it had to click in my mind. And this is where I think people think, oh, you just go do this. And most people, it is in your mind, where your mind, I had to have that click. And the light bulb went on, and that's when I hired a personal trainer. It was a couple days after my 45th birthday. And for that year, I changed my eating habits. I was exercising. Obviously, I was introduced to Thrive, the vitamin supplement that has literally changed both of our lives and so many of our friends. And I had the energy, the motivation. I started to look at my life in a positive way. So my default position was positive. So I was able to teach myself by listening to motivational speakers such as Les Brown, Tony Robbins. Some of these people have made a significant impact in my life. I would wake up in the morning and the very first thing I would do is put my earphones in. It might be 5 a.m., 5:30. Again, thank God for Thrive to keep me going. But I started with my mind feeding my mind this positive stuff, this positive thinking. And if there was any kind of negativity, I was able to then train my brain. I don't know if that's possible, but train myself to go, nope. And then I would do a shift into positive thinking. And so one of the very things that I did was I noticed more people who were negative, and it became literally like a light was shone on a lot of the negative people that were surrounding me.
That is true. Both of us too, really, isn't it? Because, yep. And this is something I think a lot of people might struggle with, is people, negative people in your life, what do you do with those people? What if they're family members and they're always sort of that Debbie Downer? Everything you say, there's a reason why it won't work, why it can't work. Negative, negative, negative. Is it best to cut those people out of your life if you can?
Well, I mean, the thing is, this is just an opinion. There's no fact here. But you can be a positive influence in these negative people's lives. So just to cut yourself out of these people, they might need this positivity. However, if their default position is always negative and they become a very toxic person and they're bringing you down and they're saying things. I mean, luckily I'm not really around people. I've got great friends and, you know, family that they don't cut me down, you know? And I know that there are people who do that, and those individuals I would definitely cut out. So there are people who were acquaintances that, yeah, I wouldn't say I cut them out of my life, but I certainly don't spend any time with them. And social media, they're certainly not, they're hidden or blocked. Let's just say that.
Yes, that's true. It's funny thing that you said that, because about when you change your mentality, your attitude, or whatever you call it, toward trying to be positive, and it's hard, isn't it? It really is hard. Because negative things happen. And this is the thing. We're not saying live in denial, you know, because we all know people whose basically heads are in the clouds and everything's perfect and wonderful and everyone's beautiful and lovely. And you're going, wait a minute, that's not really positive. It's a false positive, isn't it? That's more denial. But when you try and be more positive, you begin to notice, as you say, how many negative people are in your life, you know? And I've blocked people from Facebook. I've unfriended people or just hidden them, but stayed friends because I realized all their posts are almost exclusively negative. You know, they're whinging about their job. They're whining about how they hate this and how tired they are and how frustrated they are. And you think, why can't you do something about that? You can.
Well, and I think that's the lie that people buy into, is that they have absolutely no control over their own life. And for me, I took back that control. I made that shift not only in my mindset, but I decided I was going to take control of my life and that I am more powerful than I actually believe that I was. And once I started realizing that I was given a gift, that I have strengths, that I have these things, and now I need to find something that I'm super passionate about. And if I can combine a passion and the strengths and the gifts that I've been given, then to me, that's the perfect storm. That's the thing that will propel me forward. And I do know that my mind is much stronger than my actual physical body. And when you start going, actually, I'm going to do that. I can do this. And then when you start pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, you realize, number one, you didn't die. So that's good. So, and you push yourself and you go, I did that. Look what I just did. And so it builds this confidence. And I think over that course of that year, when I was changing my lifestyle, I was being pushed and pushed and pushed. And I, you know, and I realized I could do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no growth without change. There's no change without growth, isn't there? it's easy to kind of sink into a mentality, especially as you get toward the Middle Ages, isn't it? Where, and a lot of people, I think, do, they're getting to a point where, you know, you hate to say it, it's sort of the sunset years, the twilight years, things are slowing down, your kids are leaving home, you've probably got a pretty comfortable life for most people, you know, you've worked hard, you're looking toward the retirement age now, you know, and you're going to go buy that caravan or that RV and go off and do whatever. A lot of people kind of just check out at that point. But what I hear you saying is, this is the best time of your life, and we're into the middle age years, but why can't you grow, change, continue to advance, continue to try new things? You know, you're going to be stuck in a rut, which is nothing more than a grave with the ends kicked out, is what they say.
Yeah.
But it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think one of the things is obviously, don't get me wrong, I loved having our children at home, and I was devastated when our girls left. But obviously, they're doing what they need to do. They grow up, and they're independent, strong women. So I'm super proud of that. But this is the time to now, you know, I've got time to invest in myself, invest in other people. I'm not dead. I'm not dying at this point. I mean, I'm healthy and I feel good. And so therefore, I'm going to try to enjoy every moment, because life is extremely short and you never know when something's going to happen. My close friend that I went to high school with, her husband wasn't feeling well. He went to the hospital. He is my age, and he has leukemia. And he is literally battling for his life. And I see what they're going through, and it is really devastating.
But the interesting thing is, he has managed to stay positive. And I think we've got to keep coming back to that point of, on the one hand, there's denial. On the other hand, there's genuine positivity. And the one thing I see about our friend, his name is Jeff, and he's got this terrible disease, but he has surrounded himself with positive, uplifting people. So there's a Facebook group that we've joined, and it's people who support him and his wife, not financially, although that is part of it. There's a GoFundMe page as well that we've contributed to. But one of the things that he said on the Facebook page, he loves people, you know, giving positive messages. And it's not going to cure his cancer, but it's going to keep him positive. And that'll keep him battling it, won't it? If you're mentally sharp and mentally focused and more positive, you know, you're going to feel better physically as well. It's not a formula, but it's part of the whole package, isn't it?
And I think we have another friend who is battling pancreatic cancer, and he said he can tell when he goes in for his chemos the people who have given up, and they are extremely positive and they surround themselves with positive people. And there's just something about when people feed positivity into your life and you then also are speaking that into your own life, that something changes. There is a switch that changes. And then you don't have time for people who are always, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. And I think, you know, when you step out of your comfort zone, that is literally when things happen and things change. And one of the things that, because I love Les Brown, obviously, one of the things that he says is, too many of us are not living our dreams because we are living our fears. And
that's,
we live
so
these fears. Everything, we're afraid of everything. What if they do this? And what if we do that? And what if we can't? I can't, I can't. And so you're living your fears.
Yeah, it always seems to be the worst case scenario too, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, I've talked about this in other podcasts. When I was a pastor, you know, we had people that were in leadership that made it so difficult to do anything, to make any decision even, because everything was, well, what if this happens? What if that? Well, we can't do that because this might happen. And it was always somehow the worst case scenario. And it was always dragging everyone down and bringing everything, holding everybody back from making decisions and moving forward. Not just as a church, but people do that in their individual lives, don't
they?
Well,
they do. And I think one of the things that I actually ask myself these questions, you know, because I've always been in full, you know, working for somebody. And just in April, the beginning of May, became self-employed. And that is super scary. I've never done that. And so that safety net came out from under me, and I jumped. And, you know, one of the questions I would always say to myself, and I still say it, is what is the worst case scenario? Well, the worst case scenario is I could die.
That's pretty bad.
And if I don't, well, then it's all uphill from there.
It's all uphill from there.
And what is the best case scenario? So I said, what's the worst case scenario? Okay, I need to go get another job. Like that, okay, yeah. I can do that. That's not difficult. I can land a job. What's the best case scenario? Well, I make a success out of this, and I've got the freedom of time. I can travel and work as long as I have the internet. So we have some time freedom. We can go see our children. We'll have financial freedom. There's all these great things. And I'm my own boss. I can work when I want.
Having to go into the office 9 to 5 every week, having to schedule vacations and holidays.
Nope, I don't have to ask anybody else.
Yeah.
And I'm still at the point now where I think, oh, but that's a Tuesday. Oh, I can do that because I've got the internet. I can work. I can work on the road.
And it's funny, too, because when Lisa decided to go full-time and quit her job that she'd had for several years, it was obviously a scary move, as she says. But one of the things, I've always been self-employed basically all my life. I always joke that I'm virtually unemployable because I've always worked for myself. And it's hard to work for somebody else because I can be somewhat critical of the way things are run. But I've been a builder and a joiner, a carpenter for years and years. I've been teaching, sort of freelancing for a long time. And I've always had a lot of different income streams. And one of the things about her going full-time self-employed was I had to step back and look at my own life. And I thought, you know what? I need to look at this positively as well. Because sometimes I get upset. If you're like me, I'm a very driven person. I'm a very goal-oriented person. There are certain things that I want to achieve with my life. And if I don't seem to be getting to those goals, I can get very frustrated. But with Lisa saying, wait a minute, we have freedom. We have, you know, the availability to go when we want, where we want. And with my job, I can schedule things around so that I can have free time pretty much whenever I want. That's a huge positive. I don't punch a clock. I don't have a 9-to-5 job. But instead of being frustrated about that and complaining, actually, I need to look at it. There's so many positives that outweigh the negatives that there's so many things to be thankful for, really.
And I think that's the point, is that that's going back to being positive, is you can look, you can choose. It is a choice. You can look at the negative. You can always find those. Those are right there. But you have to sometimes dig to find some of the positives. So it is absolutely a choice. So when I wake up in the morning, I listen to these positive motivational speakers or something that is going to be the very first thing that's going to lift my mood, and it's going to be what propels me in for the day. So yes, I get knocked down and there's negative things, but I can quickly move back in. And so that for me is hugely important. I mean, I heard a statistic, was it 85% of Americans hate their jobs. They go to a job every Monday through Friday, work their 40 to 80 hours a week, hating what they do so that they can pay their bills and that they can give their children all the, you know, great things that the American dream. So then there's also another statistic that the majority of people who have heart attacks are at 8 a.m. or between 6 and 8 a.m. on Monday morning.
Yes, and part of that is they've spent the weekend abusing their bodies, you know, with alcohol and whatever, because they've wanted to escape from the drudgery of the work week that they hate, you know. And a lot of people, they see the weekend, they're working for the weekend, as the old song says. Everybody's working for the weekend. You know, you're working 9 to 5 so you can buy those toys, those motorcycles, those, you know, quad bikes, those whatever toys you want, so you can escape for 2 days. But then you got to come right back on Monday morning and you're dragging yourself out of bed and you hate it. Mm-hmm. You can change that.
Well,
you really can.
Yeah, and I think the thing is with, I mean, obviously we're American, but we live in the UK. And in the UK, it's the same. People are, they get paid. Some people get paid on Friday and they literally drink it away. They go to the pub and they drink all weekend. I'm never drinking again. Oh, I'm not, you know. And then, oh, look, Friday. And that is literally what they live for. Now, there's things that, obviously, there's things you want to go and you do and enjoy. But there's a lot of escapisms. And I was getting to a point, even though I love the people I work with, they're great people. It was a good place to work. They took care of us. So there's nothing negative I can say at all. However, I was getting to a place where I was building this business. I was working 15, 16-hour days. And now, listen, I still work loads. But I do it on my own time. And I just had to jump. And I was listening to somebody. I can't even remember who it was. And he was saying, it was a British actor. And he was saying, you just sometimes have to jump. And listen, your parachute's not going to open right away. You're going to hit some things on the way down, but your parachute will eventually open. And he said, the only time your parachute doesn't open is when you don't jump.
That's true. You can stay in the plane and go back to the runway.
Yep.
You haven't gained anything. You haven't experienced anything new or tried anything different. You certainly won't change or grow if you don't jump. And the thing is, for me, you know, going back to my story, you know, it's a struggle to stay positive, and I fight it every day, like you're saying, you know, because for me, you know, I was a teacher, and back in December of 2016, the end of last year, I was made redundant, as they say in this country, basically laid off when the school I was working for basically ran out of funding. And that was a really big blow to me. On the one hand, it was a tiring job because it was a lot of travel. I had to go to Leeds and Liverpool every week and ride the train for hours and do a full day's worth of teaching and all this. But I loved the teaching aspect of it. And for me, that was enough to put up with all of the long days, the travel, and the fairly low pay and things. But I loved it. And once I was made redundant in December, I kind of was struggling. I was floundering because I didn't know what I was going to do then. I was going to have to go back and do more building work. And I thought, wait a minute, I did a PhD. What does that mean? I'm pounding nails. I'm driving screws. I'm building things for people. I'm not even teaching anymore. But that's when I decided to start this podcast, because I thought, no, I'm just going to make something happen for myself and see where it goes. And so far, it's been an amazing journey. It's only been a few months, but I've met amazing people. I've interviewed amazing people. We've done some really good shows, and who knows where it's going to lead, but I'm just going to keep doing it. And I want to stay positive, even though it is a struggle every day.
Well, and I think too, it's one of those things where I think someone said, life has no limitations except the ones you make. So it's like that whole, the world is your oyster, but it's true. It's like there are no limitations, but you make limitations. I can't do this, or, oh, and people live very small. And I'm not talking monetarily, although that's part of it. People live in a very small thinking. And I think what we're starting to do, at least I know for me, is I'm starting to think big, and I'm starting to think, well, no, wait a minute. No, this is where I'm going. Who wants to come with me? You can come with me, but I ain't dragging you. I am not dragging you. You either want to come, lock arms with me, and let's go. And that's what I say to my team. If you want to run with me, I'm running, and there's where I'm going. So lock arms with me and let's go. And if you don't, I'm sorry, you're going to be left at the starting line because I got places to go and I want to help people. And so that's my goal. And that is what propels me. So you can't put limitations on yourself, even though that's what we do. There are no limitations.
A lot of people do.
I know.
You know, it's true.
But I think this is the process that we're starting to go to. So when you are talking to someone and they go, oh, we can't do that. Oh, when we did that before, it didn't, you know, and I know you get that a lot. Oh, we can't do that because it's like, okay, well,
there's
great.
There's always a reason. Yeah,
there's always a reason. Work. Always a reason to say no.
And it might even be true. That why should that stop you from trying again and again?
Yeah. It is, I keep quoting Les Brown because he's the one I always listen to mostly. He said, life is going to knock you down. It is going to knock you down. Yeah, he said,
no doubt about it.
But when life knocks you down, you land on your back because if you can look up, you can get up. So you're going to get hit. You're going to get knocked down. But get up and keep going. Those are the people who are going to succeed in life are the people who get up and get going.
That's true. I mean, how many stories have we heard about, you know, struggling authors, for example, who have thousands and thousands of rejection slips from the publishers, you know, rejecting their book or their idea. It's the ones who keep going and keep getting up every time they get knocked down. And it's hard. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I've been rejected by, you know, jobs that I wanted or a book that I was hoping to publish, then people didn't seem to be interested. And it is because you take it personally. If you're like me, you know, you take it as a personal rejection of you. But it's not a personal rejection. It's hard not to take it personally, you know. And I think for me, it's a case of really trying to find, as you say, the positive things, and they are there. You know, things to be thankful for. If you just went down the list of things that you're thankful for, I bet you more often than not, they're going to outweigh the one or two or three negative things that you're not happy about with your life. There are so many things to be thankful for.
I think that the main thing is that people need to have the, you know, what do they say? Attitude of gratitude. If you have gratitude, being grateful for the things that you do have and not compare yourself to others. Because the other thing I was thinking is when you were talking, other people's opinion of you does not have to become your reality.
That's
so
true.
Whatever someone thinks of you does not have to become your reality. And someone else said one time, it doesn't matter. Whatever someone thinks of you is none of your business. It doesn't matter. And the reality is people probably aren't even thinking of you anyway. So just get on with your life. And that is one of the things that, you know, we try to do.
It's true because there are so many cases where we project onto people, onto situations. And it could be positive projection or negative, but it seems like more often than not, it tends to be, like you say, that negative. Well, this isn't going to work. Let's try something. Well, we tried that before and it failed, or it didn't go as well as we wanted to, so let's just not try it again. And you think, well, you're projecting. How do you know that that's going to be a failure? How do you know that? And if you never try, you're never going to succeed. It's a cliche, but it's true.
Well, it is true. And I think of Sylvester Stallone's story. I don't know if you've ever read his story or heard his story, but it is about Rocky. It is absolutely incredible and so inspiring. So if anybody listens to Sylvester Stallone, he has an incredible story. I would highly recommend. It's very inspiring.
Yeah, he was rejected many, many times.
So many times. And even
for his
Rocky.
Story of the script, wasn't it?
Well, the story wasn't necessarily rejected. I mean, it was, but he was rejected as the actor because of his speech impediment and the way he talked and the way he looked. And he was like, I am not selling this unless I am the actor.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it's quite inspiring.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Going back to this issue of surrounding yourself with positive people, not living in denial, because as you say, life, it will knock you down. It will absolutely kick your ass. What do you do at that point? Do you pick yourself up? Do you have people in your corner that are saying, listen, I believe in you. I support you 100%. You know, it doesn't matter. You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. I mean, I coach American football to young kids, youth age 14 to 16. And one of the things that we look at is more about mentoring these kids than just teaching them the skills of American football, although that obviously is important. But one of the things, I picked it up from Pete Carroll, who's the coach of the Seattle Seahawks American football team, and he's created this culture with the Seahawks, and one of their things is he says to his players, one play at a time. So if you, when, not if, you will make a mistake on the field, there's no doubt about it. You're going to drop a pass. You're going to miss a tackle. You're going to make a mistake. Does that destroy you? Does that ruin the rest of the game? He says, no, one play at a time. It's over. It's done. Put it behind you. You've got however many more plays to redeem yourself and make the right play, make a good play. You know, and we teach that to our kids, and we can see when they start to buy into that philosophy, that culture. Make a mistake, put it behind you, move on. You cannot let it destroy you, or it will utterly destroy you. And people live their lives that way.
Yeah, they do. And they learn from a very young age, and they definitely bring that into adulthood. And when you were talking about having people in your corner and supporting you, that is hugely important. You know, I think that is one thing that we have done as a married couple is support each other so that we can grow. And, you know, we have each other's backs. You know, we don't work against each other. You know, we want each other to flourish in the strengths and the gifts that we've been given. And so that's been, you know, that I think is really important. Not everybody has that, but we've had some massive things happen in the last 4 years of our life as well. And, you know, some people, I mean, people don't know. And you know, sometimes I think I'm surprised we're functioning, but yeah. You, again, like you said, it knocks you in the ass, and what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? And there are choices that you make, and we are far more powerful than we think that we are. So people will literally be victims and or martyrs. And you have control of your life. You have control of your schedule.
That's true. You do it. I remember
you make it.
There's a really good Robcast, and he talks about that exact same thing. You're in control of your schedule. So many people are always complaining.
Yep.
I'm so busy. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Okay. Let's take a look at your weekly schedule. Who, you know, signed up for all these things?
Yep.
You did. Mm-hmm. You couldn't say no to whoever and whatever. And they're all good causes. And this is what Rob Bell talks about. They're great. I'm sure they are. They're wonderful things, but he says you can really only do one or two things really, really well and good, or you can do 20 things poorly. So and be exhausted. You know, so what would you rather do? Focus on the positive things, the things that really are life affirming and that build you up and you get strength and energy from, or running around like a chicken with your head cut off and you're utterly exhausted and you feel like, what have I actually done this week or this month? I've run myself into the ground.
And I think the worst part is then people complain about it, and then they're the martyrs, you know. And to be honest, these are kind of, when we talked about, and not the block these people out of my life, but when you give advice or you say yes, but, and you try to encourage them and say, do these things. Hey, look, and that's part of my, one of the things that I do is if there's a problem, I see a problem and I can hear people talking about it, then I'm like, boom, here's your solution. Do this. And it's just always that it's right. But people will continue, and then they don't take your advice, but they keep asking for your advice. Then I'm like, that's it. I'm done. Like I got it next. I got to move on because I cannot. Some people are not teachable and some people don't want to listen, and they don't want to be victors. They want to be victims, or, you know, and they want people to feel sorry for them. And I am saying we are so much stronger. We are so much more powerful than we even allow or give ourselves. And do not give your power to somebody else to control your life. I see it so many times, especially in women. They've got their partners or their exes or whatever, and they're constantly being drugged down you know, and I'm sure it's the other way around as well, but I'm just saying from my perspective as a female, and I'm like, why are you giving that person power over your life? You are a strong woman. Don't be devalued like that. Come on, you know, so I said, pull up your big girl panties.
It's true, isn't it? How many women particularly are in abusive relationships or just being maybe not physically abused, although there are certainly a huge shocking number who are, but women who are just browbeaten and beaten down by their partners or people that are in their lives, and you think, why are you letting this person control you and change your outlook to something that's always negative? Yeah, you're right. I am stupid. I am ugly. I am fat. I am whatever. I'm worthless. Yeah, yeah, you're right. And so you feel terrible about yourself and you get stuck in these ruts. You can change that.
I mean, I was in relationships like that before I met you. And it's damaging. But at one point, I was like, again, in my mind, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't about me. This is your issue. I know who I am. And again, it was a choice. And I had to keep feeding my mind that. So again, I think it's these tapes that we play. You can either play these horrible lies or you can rewind and start playing yourself the truth.
Yeah, I remember talking one time in a class I was teaching in Liverpool about this. We got on this topic of your life script, you know, and nobody in the class had ever heard of that term. And I was telling the students that basically every one of us has a life script. In other words, a storyline that determines who you're going to be, what kind of person you are. And you usually have that narrative written, in a sense, when you're a small child, the experiences that you have, whether they're good, positive, negative, or whatever, you know, and so you grow up thinking, you know, you hear the words, well, you'll never amount to anything, you know, and that becomes your life script. Well, I'm just going to be a loser. I guess I'll never amount to anything. Oh, well, I'll just live my life that way. And people don't understand. You can change that life script. You can rewrite the life script. And it was a really powerful session that we had with the students because it was a whole new way of thinking about, wait a minute, I don't just have to settle for the life I've got. And somehow God has to figure into all this. I mean, what struck me as we were talking, there's so many, I would say, biblical values or biblical concepts that have come out of, you know, you were talking about gifts, you were talking about passions, you were talking about becoming the person that God made you to be. And that's where you start to discover, I think, when you say, okay, who am I? What kind of person am I? And start working and living within those gifts and strengths and passions, that your life can totally change. And you haven't said anything about, you know, becoming a Christian or anything. It's just a truth. It's a truism.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And I think we buy into these things because we we were told these things and we never knew anything different. But when you get older and you start to recognize, it's like you need people in your life who tell you something different. And when they tell you something different, it's like fresh water. It's like, listen, you can drink from this fresh well, or you can continue down that destructive pattern. So it is always, that's why I wouldn't block every single negative person in my life, because they need your positive influence. They need those words. It's not that. It's not the people who are really hurting that, you know, I would go, oh, I'm done with them. But there are just people who their default is always no, always negative. And it's exhausting to be around the Debbie Downers.
It is true. It's hard to be around people like that, especially when you're trying to be positive. Again, not living in denial, but saying, well, why can't we try this? And these people always seem to come around and say, as we've said, well, it won't work. We tried it in the past and it didn't work. And you go, what can you do with a person like that who's just constantly, like you say, their default setting is no, worst case scenario, we're not going to try it, we're not going to do it. It's really difficult. And sometimes you do have to maybe not cut them totally out of your life, especially if they're family members, but maybe limit And we've had to do that, though. We have cut people, though, that are so toxic. Mm. You know, it's more than just people who need the positivity. It's people who are actually hurtful and damaging. Even family members, we've had to say, you know what? I can't have you in my life. I'm sorry. I love you. I wish the best for you. I really do. I care about you. I just can't be in... You can't have you in my life.
Yeah, sorry. There is some very toxic people out there that only... And there are people out there that do wish people the worst. They want them to fail. I'm not necessarily talking about our family, you know, family members, but there are people who want to watch you fail. And those people... Bye-bye.
Yes, it's definitely true. You do sometimes have to cut negative and or toxic people out of your life. I was going to say that a few years ago, this was a major life shift for me. You talked about turning 45 and how that was what your midlife crisis maybe. But for me, it was about probably 4 years ago now. Some really terrible things happened in my family. And we're going to do a podcast later on with my sister, I think, when she comes to visit in September. So we might get into some of this. But I was desperately trying to hold my family together through a really, really terrible time. Some horrible kind of revelations came out. And I'm the kind of person, I won't stop until issues are resolved. And I want to try to do that. That's the way I am. But the more I tried to do it with my family, certain family members were so toxic, I realized for the first time, I think ever, I had to walk away from that and say, I can't do this. And I'm investing a huge amount of emotional energy and just time, and it's blowing up in my face, and I'm getting hurt, and I'm getting, people are lashing back at me, and all I'm trying to do is work, help people work through the issues and the problems. And I think sometimes you have to do that. And me making that shift, that was the first time in my life where I've ever done that. I've said to myself, you know, I've said what I need to say. They don't want to hear it. They can't hear it, won't hear it, whatever. And I have to walk away. And that was the healthiest thing I think I've probably ever done in my life. It's not perfect by any stretch. We still have a lot of problems and issues that we're working through. But doing that was hugely freeing for me. And unfortunately, my family is still really divided, and there's some seriously toxic people, but I had to walk away.
Yeah. I mean, and it is difficult, but it was, like you said, the best decision, because you can't choose health for somebody else. You can only choose it for yourself. One of the things that Tony Robbins says is the quality of your life is the quality of your relationships.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? You judge a person by, as the saying goes, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are.
Yep.
What kind of people do you hang around with? What kind of people are in your life? Are they more negative people bringing you down, or more positive people building you up, lifting you up? And ironically, I have to bring this back to church, but isn't that what the church is supposed to be about? Lifting people up, building people up, rather than tearing them down, which unfortunately tends to be so often in so many churches, where Christians are hurting other Christians, and not just Christians, but people outside, non-Christians as well. So, you know, this is what the church was supposed to be.
Unfortunately, it's not always the case. But I think, you know, one of the things that we talked about was, you know, let's say people's past, their life script. And another thing, one of my favorites, is Tony Robbins says, the past does not equal the future.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening in to this episode of the Preacher's Forum podcast, featuring a discussion with me and my wife, Lisa, about being positive. And you know, it could be a cliche, it could be corny, but it's true that changing your mentality, changing your outlook, okay, it won't necessarily change your circumstances. You're not going to have a great life tomorrow. But you know, when you start to be positive, and you really, it takes work, it takes effort, you begin to see your life in a different way. You know, for a long time, for many years, I always said, well, I've got really bad luck. Bad things just always seem to happen to me. And part of that shift, as I was talking about in the podcast, of distancing myself from negative and toxic people in my life, was me reassessing that whole piece about my bad luck. And I decided that no longer was I going to say that I have bad luck and the bad things always seem to happen to me. I was going to say I have good luck, or there's no such thing as luck. It's just life circumstances and how you respond and what you make of it. So I went out and I got myself a tattoo that says in Latin, Lucky 13, because I realized I need to stamp this and put it on my body so I can look at that and say, that is a reminder that I am no longer going to talk about bad luck and bad, terrible things always seeming to happen to me, but that I'm going to be positive. And it's a struggle. It's a battle every day. We're not saying this is easy. We're not saying you must live in denial or over-spiritualize everything, which is far too easy to do. But being positive and surrounding yourself with positive, uplifting people can make a massive, huge, literally life-changing difference in your life. If this episode has challenged you, helped you, made you think some things through, we'd love to hear from you, either myself or my wife, Lisa. You can contact me a variety of ways on social media. You can follow me on Twitter, at Preachers Forum. And the same, you can find me on Instagram, at Preachers Forum as well. You can always send me an email, preachersforum@gmail.com. You can stop by my Facebook page and like it, facebook.com/The Preachers Forum. And finally, take a look at my website, preachersforum.com, and look at the great content that I am constantly putting up, critical thinking about God, the church, and spirituality. And finally, I'd just like to say one last thing that would be great if you would help sponsor me on Patreon so that I can keep doing what I'm doing. If you're interested in finding out what it all is involved in becoming a sponsor for as little as $1 a month, you can go to patreon.com/preachersforum, and there you'll find more information as well as an informational video where I talk about the vision of the Preachers Forum and the various rewards, like joining the private Preachers Forum podcast Facebook group, where we will have amazing discussions about all kinds of topics in a safe, non-judgmental, and supportive space. Once again, I am your host, Dr. Clint Haycock, and thank you for joining myself and my wife, Lisa, right here on the Preachers Forum podcast.